Radio Prague News.
The Czech government has committed to narrowing the budget deficit below 3% of the GDP. Czech labor unions are planning to step up pressure against the government's reforms. And the first major retrospective of photographer Jan Reich has opened at Prague Castle. The Czech government on Wednesday approved an updated version of the country's convergence plan, committing to narrowing the budget deficit this year to 3% of the GDP. In the following years, the deficit should not exceed the 3% threshold required for the adoption of the euro, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said. According to the latest figures by the Czech Statistical Office, the budget deficit last year dropped to 3.09% of the gross domestic product, down from 4.8% the year before. The Czech government has not set down any date for the adoption of the euro, although it is legally bound to join the eurozone by its accession treaty to the European Union. However, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek said earlier this month that he did not believe the government would do so in the near future. Czech labor unions on Wednesday threatened to undertake further protest actions against the government's reform plans. Union leaders said a new round of protests would be more radical than that staged in Prague last Saturday, when around 100,000 people marched through the capital demanding the center-right government to step down. The head of the union's association, Jaroslav Zavadil, said the process would hurt, adding that union leaders would no longer attend meetings with the government. The Czech Energy Regulatory Office will not subsidize renewable energy sources put into operation after the year 2014, the head of the agency, Alena Vitásková, told reporters on Wednesday, arguing that the Czech Republic could not afford to do so. Ms. Vitásková said the Czech Republic spent more on subsidies for renewable energy sources per capita than most countries of the world, and stopping them after 2014 would save 618 billion crowns. In spite of stopping the subsidies, the Energy Regulatory Office expects the country to meet the EU target of covering 13.5% of its energy consumption from renewables by the year 2020. The Czech Association for Renewable Energy Sources criticized the decision, claiming that the regulator oversteps its competence in the issue. The Czech Senate on Thursday voted down a bill that would complete the liberalization of the Czech postal market by ending Czech Post's monopoly for delivering postcards and standard parcels. Members of the upper chamber of parliament, controlled by the opposition Social Democrats, expressed concerns that the move would lead to closing down Czech Post offices in small towns and villages. Deputy Speaker of the Senate Zdeněk Škromach said should the legislation take effect, large firms would only find it profitable to make business in cities. For his part, the Industry and Trade Minister Martin Kuba said two-thirds of the postal market had already been liberalized and rejected claims the bill would limit the availability of postal services. The draft legislation will now return to the lower house, which can effectively overturn the Senate veto. The first major retrospective of photographer Jan Reich opened at Prague Castle on Wednesday. The exhibition presents more than 400 photographs focusing on his images of Prague from the 1950s to the 1980s, the derelict landscape of the Sudetenland, and his takes of the Bohemian countryside, as well as spiritually inspiring sites of Bohemia. Jan Reich, who is considered one of the classics of Czech photography, died in 2009, aged 67. The exhibit at the Theresian wing of Prague Castle runs until August. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The coming days should be mostly clear with chances of rain showers, particularly in the west of the country. Daytime highs should range between 18 and 22 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, trade unions step up the pressure against the centre-right government, promising protest actions that will hurt. And the legendary band Pražský výběr is back. Why is it such a surprise and what's in store for their fans? In Marketplace, we speak to the head of the Czech business platform for foreign cooperation about why Czech companies are reluctant to take part in foreign aid projects, and we'll end the show with a Czech lesson as usual. So do please stay with us. Czech trade unions have decided that their show of force in mass protests needs more muscle. The Czech Moravian Confederation of Trade Unions says that tripart negotiations with the government are over and it's time for a new protest, which, as their chairman Jaroslav Zavadil says, is going to hurt. Christian Falvey has this report.
No more negotiating, take to the streets. Such was the decision of the Confederation of Trade Unions on Wednesday. Last weekend's demonstration in Prague may have been the largest since the Velvet Revolution, but the trade unions want it even bigger, more radical, and they need it to hurt. Transport unions say they are prepared to protest within days, but will wait to coordinate with other unions and activists. Prime Minister Petr Nečas responded with a statement that he cannot force the unions to the negotiating table, but said the blame was on them for forcing a tense situation. But the chairman of the Czech Moravian Confederation of Trade Unions says the only thing he is willing to discuss is the end of the reforms and the fall of the government. The current situation, by which, for example, the government demands a strong majority, gets a majority of two, and claims victory, is proof of nothing other than the fact that the cabinet intends to stay in power come what may. Jaroslav Zavadil is the chairman of the confederation.
Throughout all of the negotiations so far, the government has never made us believe that they were the least bit interested in seriously discussing our proposals. The ball always stops at their policy platform. Nothing is ever agreed upon, and we're just there for scenery. So I have no confidence in this government or in further negotiating any specific measures.
The unions will not yet be drawn on what kind of protest they have in mind, but given the depth of public rancor, a general strike is clearly on the table. A blockade of the capital was also mentioned as an option for the near future, sometime during May, but what will be done specifically will be announced next week. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek rejects the argument that the government has failed to constructively communicate with the trade unions, saying they have negotiated patiently and agreed on real compromises. He told Czech Radio on Wednesday that the threats were the logical conclusion of the union's approach to the situation.
They already refused to show up for the last round of negotiations and they left early at the one before that. The unions have simply chosen a confrontational tone to bring the situation to a head and to set conditions that make it clear they are playing politics. They're not negotiating for their employees. They are a political power that wants to overturn the results of the election. And I'm not criticizing that. I'm just stating the facts.
Another fact of the matter is public opinion, which recent polls suggest is overwhelmingly in favor of early elections, with nearly 80% in some surveys saying it's time for the government to wrap things up. The unions are thus riding a wave that brought more than 100,000 people into the streets last weekend, and there is little doubt they can do it again, and even stronger, amid a constantly shaky political situation.
Christian Falvey reporting. Now, the legendary band Pražský výběr, one of the most influential bands from the Czech New Wave, are back. Recently, the group, led by frontman Michal Kocáb, announced they would put aside past differences and reunite for a series of concerts in the autumn. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Pražský výběr broke up 6 years ago in a dispute over the band name rights between singer-composer, later-turned-politician Michal Kocáb, and guitarist Michal Pavlíček. Both now have decided to bury the hatchet and bring the group back. In the 1980s, Pražský výběr was largely banned from performing in communist Czechoslovakia, but its members are not only widely recognized for their strong message and lyrics, but also, unlike numerous underground bands from the era, for their excellence as musicians. A small reunion tour was in fact late President Václav Havel's wish, who once joked that it would be easier to get the Israelis and Palestinians together than this. Michal Kocáb spoke to Czech TV.
He wrote us a beautiful letter in which he said, "Come on, guys, get back together. Forget what divides you, at least for a little while."
The reunion will bring back the band in its original lineup from more than 30 years ago. Not just Messrs. Kocáb and Pavlíček, but also bass guitarist Vilém Čok and drummers Claudius Krišpín and Jiří Hrubeš. 5 concerts will take place in Brno, Prague, Ostrava, Pardubice, and the Slovak capital of Bratislava between November 11th and 24th, coinciding with the anniversary of the Velvet Revolution that brought the band, like their fellow Czechs and Slovaks, freedom. Songs performed will be off of Pražský výběr's first album, Straka v Hrsky, recorded back in 1982, but banned by the communists and released only 6 years later. The album includes legendary material such as Hrabě X and Pražákům je hej. And as a form of an invitation to those planned upcoming concerts, one more song. This one is called Zubata. The concerts are certain to attract a lot of attention among both new and longtime fans, who will no doubt appreciate the opportunity to see the legendary group once again.
Jan Wellinger with that report. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our new feature, Marketplace, hosted by Jan Richter.
The Czech Republic spends around 430 million crowns a year on foreign aid, financing various development projects in Bosnia and Herzegovina, Ethiopia, Moldova, Mongolia and other countries. The government is increasingly trying to involve Czech firms and businesses in the process, so that they find a foothold on local markets where they could continue doing business even after the government-sponsored projects finish. But Věra Venslíková, the head of the Czech Business Platform for Foreign Cooperation, says that getting Czech firms interested is no easy job.
In Czech Republic, only few companies are involved in developing cooperation project. It means we try to persuade or to inform private sector about these opportunities and possibilities. And we do a lot of seminars, conferences to show them what is possible, what is not.
What is a typical company that joins your program? Is that someone who already has business links in that country, or how do you choose these firms?
It depends. It is important to say that system for cooperation with developing countries did some big transformation since 2008. Before, each strong ministry had some budget for its own projects, and they invited their friendly companies. After 2008, because we received some OECD audit, Czech government decided to change the system, and everything is under Czech Development Agency. And Czech Development Agency started to do it like tenders. And if you do something like tenders, you don't ask companies to create all the project. Now more companies can approach to the same tender.
Who are the typical companies that get involved in development projects?
Typical company has a lot of know-how in solution of certain problems in some sectors like environment, transportation, energy. And when Czech Development Agency has the project, there are several parts of problems to solve, and they invite them firstly to help them to form the exact project, and secondly they invite others to compete for that tender. The bigger company is Eltodo, which is also related with some energy projects, but ČEZ is so big. And ČEZ does different projects for their own needs. But usually companies typical for developing projects are middle-sized.
The Czech Development Agency highlighted it as one of the good examples where this worked, Mongolia, and the case of the power plant in Ulaanbaatar, power plant number 4. How difficult was it for the company to sort of carry on its business even after the project stopped?
It needs some investment capital, for sure, and also very good and loyal local partner. Until you receive money from government, if it's project, that's very easy, because a company hasn't any risk on their side. But when it stops and a company would like to continue, there is a lot of risk because of that investment capital, because of different business conditions, because very difficult negotiation with authorities and so on. So it must be very brave decision to stay on the market. And usually, unfortunately, that future business is not continuation of the project.
These development projects, I assume, are not business-oriented. I mean, that's a project that's paid by partly by the Czech Republic government, partly by EU and other donors, so they don't have to really need to make any profit. How's the transformation working?
Yeah, the problematic word is that profit. The profit, all money are directed to that final beneficiary. Sometimes beneficiaries are women with small children, let's say, and development project is about some schools or hospitals, but somebody can continue with some services for these hospitals, let's say. And if we don't think how that hospital will continue after we finish our payment from government, any business has some hope to continue to do it. So in formulation of the project should be some elements, not exactly some prescription. If we stop the project, you can continue to sell some services or some goods for hospitals, if I use the same example. But there must be some space for these possibilities of the business. That's a very difficult. It needs more experience, more thinking, and until now, developing projects were more on that NGO side. It means social economic ideas to help, not to train them to do it by themselves. There is also a question of ownership. It means that final beneficiary get your project, like a donor project, as their own. They only wait, what will you do for them? And it is not good. They must accept it and start to cooperate on it. That's why we call it development cooperation. But still, in many cases, it's only developing help or developing assistance. This kind of cooperation is much important than money what you put in.
Which of these, which of the countries, for example, would you say are best for Czech businesses to start their own projects after the cooperation part is over?
We have three members who did it, and all these companies set up their own branches in Balkan countries, Serbia, Bosnia. And they try through their branches continue to compete in tenders which is announced by European Union delegation in Serbia, for example, or some regional governments. When they do some project, they invite also to tender some companies, and our company has that branch and they can compete.
Well, the Czech Republic is sinking on the Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index every year, but many of these countries where you work or your members work are even lower. Is corruption when dealing with the authorities a big issue? for example, in the Balkans or in Mongolia, Ethiopia?
Yeah, that's what I said about a difficult negotiation with authorities. There is that gap of corruption, but we consider it a little like some advance that Czech companies knows how to negotiate when developing country has it like a culture. It is somewhere. It is not. It is not considered like corruption, but something like rule or right. You have to pay them because they negotiate with you. Very strange example I've heard from Ethiopia, where is a lot of NGOs project, a lot of donors and so on, and if you do seminar for final beneficiaries, they ask you to pay them money only when they come. These ordinary people, how they know it?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's the system is very strange. System of developing cooperation, developing assistance, because somewhere they consider us like them, like these people who pays for everything.
What do you think should the Czech Foreign Ministry or the Czech Development Agency change to get more companies involved in these projects?
In this year, as we saw in a new plan, they started to consider some program B2B. And that program, business to business, means that they have some small money to help Czech companies going to that developing country to find the good partner and, for example, do that feasibility study. Feasibility study is useful for several companies if it's made for certain sector. And if it's paid by public money, you can use it not only one. It is not like a business secret, but you can use it like information which usually we are receiving from embassies. And this kind of B2B program can help more companies to get involved in developing small projects and mostly developing but also investment project. They have to put their own money for future business partnership.
Věra Venclíková, the head of the Czech Business Platform for Foreign Cooperation, speaking there to Radio Prague's Jan Richter in today's edition of Marketplace. And we now wind up this half hour from Prague with another part in our popular language series ABC of Czech, which we're currently rerunning.
Ahoy, and welcome to ABC of Czech. I'm Heather Bowne, and
Dita Asiedu
is in the studio as well. In today's program, we'll be talking to Pavel, a student who attended the summer school for compatriots in Dobruška. He'll share with us a funny story about learning and speaking Czech in the pub. Before we hear from Pavel, let's go over two words that are easily confused in Czech. The first is the word or expression for cheers.
Na zdraví.
The second is the word for station, as in bus or train station.
Nádraží.
Can you hear the similarities in these two words?
Na zdraví, nádraží.
These words really need to be broken down to make sense. The word for health in Czech is
zdraví.
So the Czech expression for cheers,
na zdraví,
literally means to health. The word station,
nádraží,
is connected to the Czech word for
dráha,
which means route or way. And station,
nádraží,
literally means on the route or on the way. If you have ever visited Prague, you may know the name of the main train station,
hlavní nádraží,
which is also a stop on the Prague metro. Now let's hear from Pavel.
Well, my name's Pavel Linhart. I'm from Scotland.
Do you have any funny stories about learning Czech?
My father's Scottish, and he's been coming here for the past 20, 25 years or whatever like that. And he doesn't like speaking because my mum always corrects him. And there was one time where he'd had a little bit too much to drink, and instead of saying nazdraví, as in cheers, he went nádraží. So ever since then, we always toast nádraží, and then when we get really drunk, it's hlavní nádraží. And so when my friends came to Dobruška, they saw that all the students here are sitting in the pub going, nádraží, nádraží. And everybody's looking at them as if, you know, they're foreigners. So they don't know how to say it properly, fine. But they do know how to say it properly.
That certainly is a funny story. But more than that, what can we learn from it? Well, first, the expression for cheers in Czech is actually
nazdraví.
And when you are catching a train in Prague, you'll need to find the main train station, which is
hlavní nádraží.
And if you are visiting the Czech Republic and you hear a group of students raising their glasses to
nádraží,
the train station, then they're probably just being silly. Until next time, take care.
Mějte se.
And
nádraží.
Oops, we mean to your health.
Na zdraví.
And I'm afraid that edition of ABC of Czech brings us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. All our programs are there in text and sound. Should you like to contact us, then do please send an email to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.